This podcast was first broadcast on Mix 92.6. Go to mix92.6.com to find more Environment Matters podcasts. And if you enjoy what we do, to find out how you can support the station, which is run entirely by volunteers. I hope you enjoy the podcast. Welcome to Environment Matters with me, Amanda Yorworth. Environment Matters is the show that brings you news on issues of sustainability and the environment from around Hertfordshire and from further afield. Now, Hertfordshire Natural History Society's volunteers have been keeping track of local wildlife since 1875. And in this, their 150th year, they've teamed up with St Albans Museum and Art Gallery to create an exhibition celebrating the iconic flora, fauna and habitats of Hertfordshire. The Wild About Hertfordshire exhibition looks back at the Victorian origins of the Hertfordshire Natural History Society and looks forward to the future, recording change in challenging times for the natural world. Now, I was lucky enough to get along to the opening of the exhibition. Climbing up the stairs to the exhibition, I was immediately impressed by the huge model of a peregrine falcon above me, ready to swoop down the stairwell upon me. Now, I could tell this was going to be good. I found a quiet spot to catch up with David Utting, the curator of the exhibition and the secretary of the Hertfordshire Natural History Society. And I started by asking David to explain what exactly the Hertfordshire Natural History Society is and what it does.
Oh, it's been going for 150 years, which is a good excuse to put on an exhibition of this kind. But its role pretty much throughout that time has been one of recording what we have in terms of wildlife in Hertfordshire, keeping a track on it, being able to identify it and then keep the records and then bring the records together to create wonderful information that you can use to assess what's happening to the natural world.
And the people who are a member of your society and are making these records, are they being paid for what they do?
No, everybody is a volunteer, and that has always been the case. I mean, we've had some very eminent scientists who've been members of the society, but they are members in a voluntary role entirely, and what they do for love and for science, of course.
Okay. So we have this exhibition, as you say, celebrating 150 years of what you do. Can you tell us what you wanted to get out of this exhibition? Why you thought it was a good idea to hold it?
Well, first and foremost, I guess we wanted to tell the story because it's a long time. We're going back to the late Victorian period. Things were very different then. Just to give one example, when people wanted to identify birds and animals, they didn't have lovely high-powered binoculars they could afford to buy. So they tended to shoot things. So they shot first and asked questions afterwards and identified things. Now, that's not a very acceptable way of going about things now, but that is what they did. So we want to sort of show people how it was different 150 years ago. But we also want to throw the thing forward because perhaps more so than it was in the 19th century, these are very challenging times for wildlife. We have global challenges. We have, climate change going on and all sorts of other things that man-made problems, it has to be said often, that are affecting our environment. And so it is actually more important than ever to keep tabs on what's actually happening to different species and try and work out why it's happening. It's not always going to be climate change, but some things we're losing and some things we're gaining, and we need to know why that is.
Okay, so your work is even more important now. And if we come to the museum, what can we hope to see?
Well, there'll be some exhibits that, so there are some exhibits that show how Hertfordshire's iconic habitats. We've got a splendid recreation of a chalk stream, which is actually the River Vyr in this case. And Hertfordshire is very fortunate in the sense that it has all this chalk underlying. And we have quite a decent proportion of the only 200 or so chalk streams in the entire world. So there's a great section showing all the chalk, underlying chalk strata. So you'd see that. You'd also see, going back a very, very long time, some very rare botany books about plants, some of which date to the 15th century, which were given to the society in the 19th century. But on top of that, you'll see a lot of things about how things are with wildlife now and how we're hoping to do more to conserve that nature in Hertfordshire in the future.
And whilst there's a lot of very interesting information, you've got some fantastic photographs for us to see. And you've also got some hands-on activities. You don't just want adults to come and learn about the Herts Natural History Society. What do you have for kids?
Absolutely. I hope children will enjoy the various things that that we have. This absolutely amazing dressing up costumes to dress up as animals, which the team here at the museum and their supporters have been making. They're absolutely great. And there's some quizzes and trails. You'll be able to follow animal footprints and try and find the animal, and you get a sticker for doing it. But there's some little mice hidden away, little model mice, I should say. But if you can find all of those, that's another little competition we've got. And there's quite a lot. Oh, there's a thing for sorting out leaves, great big wooden leaves that you put through the leaf sorter. So there's plenty to keep children occupied and interested. And we hope that will sort of spark some interest in natural history while they're having fun.
Yeah, well, let's hope so. And what do you hope that adults get from this? And what do you hope that they do as a result of coming here?
I'd like to think that one of the messages is that wildlife isn't just sort of getting out into the countryside and seeing. So there's plenty of wildlife, you know, if you have a garden in your back garden, but in the nearest open space to you, and your enjoyment of getting out there and is increased, I think, very much by actually taking a bit more interest in what it is you are seeing and getting to know what it is, identifying it. And then if you get into the business of actually keeping records and submitting your records, you then become part of this great process of contributing really valuable information for planning our future.
Right. And we can do that. We don't have to, it doesn't have to be a huge commitment. Just any of our sightings, anything that we see, you're interested. It's all part of a big
record. Absolutely. And you don't have to worry too much. We have teams of experts who look through the records. They, you know, if they think something isn't quite right, they will say so. But simple things that you see. There was a series on the television years ago called Backyard Safari. It's exactly that. There are just amazing variety of insects and beetles and all sorts of things just out in your own backyard you could be looking at. Or just look up the sky. You're bound to see a red kite in Hertfordshire as a good starting point. But there's lots of other things that you can't.
And that's all valuable. And then the other thing that I noticed, you want us to leave with a pledge. What do you want us to pledge?
Nothing very elaborate. Just something, anything that people think they could do that would just help to make it more likely that we safeguard our natural history and our wildlife and our wonderful habitats here in Hertfordshire for the future.
David, thank you so much for telling us about that today.
Thank you.
Now, as David said, the Wild About Hertfordshire exhibition has lots to see and do, lots to listen to, and has got some great models, including that awesome peregrine falcon that I told you about earlier. Apparently, that was created for the St. Albans Cathedral procession and will be returned to them to ensure its reuse. Now, another model that is going to have a future life educating us is the beautiful detailed model of one of Hertfordshire's treasured chalkstream rivers, the River Ver, and the rocks beneath it. I spoke to one of its creators, Lee Wood.
Lisa, we're standing in front of this amazing model that you, and I believe in your dad,
yes,
have made of the River Ver. And it's not just the surface, but everything under the ground as well. Tell us about it and how you made it.
So it's been a labour of love over sort of 2 months. My dad and I sort of set to making a really detailed vision of the Ver. We actually used gravel and sand from the Ver itself as part of the base. And we used water from the Ver to set the resin as well. But obviously it's showing all of the strata for the various chalk layers underneath the feet. So it's got a real in-depth analysis of what it takes to make this chalk stream habitat.
Yeah, and we can just see all of it there in front of us. And then there's some brilliant photos of, is this the wildlife that we'd find in the Ver?
Yeah, so you've got 7 examples here of all of the flora and fauna and wildlife that you can find in and around the chalkstones.
You must be very proud of this.
Of course, but I think it's a nod to my dad as well. So he worked very hard on the actual frame of it. It's just a collaboration between everyone involved. It's really, really cool.
And you must be very keen also for people to use this to help them understand a bit more about the Ver and why it's important.
Of course. I think the Ver is, it's just one of those anomalies where people don't really know too much about it, but they know it's there. So hopefully this exhibition will really give them an in-depth understanding about what it is and how it thrives. And it's a living, breathing habitat. And most importantly, how we can protect it as well.
Absolutely. Lee, thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Whilst the World About Hertfordshire exhibition has some fascinating information about what the Hertfordshire Natural History Society has been doing over the last 150 years, including some exquisitely illustrated old books and information about some inspiring female naturalists who were in fact formidable scientists in what was then an almost exclusively male field, their hope is really to inspire the biological recorders of the future. So I was keen to talk to the wonderfully enthusiastic Toby.
So Toby, I've noticed you as one of the slightly younger people here, and you are interested in dragonflies and recording information and photographs about them. Why are you involved in recording wildlife? What do you get out of it, and why do you think it's important?
Well, I think it's really interesting because without recording of wildlife, how do we know what wildlife's doing? It's very secretive. It goes about its business and without people going out there to see what's happening. And we really just don't know what's going on. And with the effects of climate change, we need to understand how that's affecting different species, because the only way we can do something about it is to know the impact it's having and then understanding the causes behind it. And then we can go out, start trying to do something about it. So I think that's why it's so important. And personally, I just love getting out into nature, getting away from screens, technology and everything like that, and just, you know, embracing nature, seeing what it's doing. People might think it's a bit boring, but it's always surprising when you go out there observing wildlife and its behavior and just thinking, oh, I didn't expect to see this, or wow, isn't that interesting, or look what that's doing. It's just, there's so much out there that I think people don't appreciate and know about. You just have to get out there, embrace it, and you never know what you might find. There's something for everybody out there.
It sounds like you would recommend that more of us got a lot more young people got involved in nature recording.
Absolutely. I think it's just a great thing. You know, we spend so much time inside on screens with technology, which is good in, you know, small amounts. But I think balancing that with getting outside in nature, it's just so nice to get away for it all and just to, you know, get hands on, you know, look at stuff. You know, it might not be super exciting all the time, but if you persevere with it, then you'll really find something that's interesting. And it's all about just kind of persevering, you know, building up your knowledge bit by bit, going out there, meeting people who know of it more than you, and you can just learn from them. It's just a great thing to do in your spare time.
My thanks to David, Lee and Toby for taking the time to talk to me. Now, you can see the World About Hertfordshire exhibition at the St Albans Museum and Art Gallery until the 6th of July. And do check their website for the programme of additional activities that will be running in parallel with the exhibition. I'll put the link in the notes that go with the podcast of this show and that you'll find on the podcast page of mix926.com. You'll also find there the podcast of the show where we hear about the plans to renovate the River Ver, where it runs through Verulamium Park in St Albans, and also to renovate the lake itself. Now, you might have seen that the work's already started, and whilst it does look quite destructive with lots of tree felling and earthworks, we're assured that it will ultimately help the River Ver become healthier and better for wildlife. And a group that will be keeping a close eye on happenings in Verulamium Park is the soon-to-be-relaunched Friends of Verulamium Park. Now, the group has existed before, but it had dwindled away, and the hope is that a whole new group of park lovers will join together to champion one of St Albans' most treasured green spaces. The official launch event will take place on Tuesday, April the 15th, 7 o'clock, at the Abbey Theatre at Westminster Lodge, Holywell Hill in St Albans. Now, Verulamium Park does welcome hundreds of thousands of visitors each year, offering a vital escape for walkers, dog walkers, runners, families, nature lovers, so many people. It's over 100 acres in size, beautiful landscape with a really rich Roman history, and it has to be said that it is well loved. But it does rely on its community for safeguarding its beauty and heritage for generations to come. Now, the Friends of Verulamium Park Group has been formed to give a voice to all park users working to enhance its wildlife, natural beauty and archaeological significance while ensuring a welcoming and informative experience for every visitor. So, as I say, they've got their launch event on Tuesday, the 15th of April, but why should you go along? Well, they say you'll hear from expert speakers about ongoing improvements, their impact on wildlife and future plans. You'll be able to share your thoughts on and ideas on how we can preserve and improve this unique space, and also you'll have the chance to be part of a passionate community dedicated to protecting and celebrating Verulamium Park. Look, again, I'll pop the link with all that you need to know into the show notes, or for more information, you can contact verparkfriends@gmail.com or follow them on @friendsofverulamiumpark. So are you inspired to do a bit more for wildlife, perhaps by reporting your sightings to the Harts Natural History Society or by joining a group like the Friends of Verulamium Park? Well, do let me know what you're up to. Via email, I'm on amanda.yorworth@mix926.com or look for Environment Matters on Mix92.6 on X and on Facebook. Now, in the coming weeks here on Environment Matters, we're going to hear more about what you can do to help wildlife in your own outdoor space, including a group of insects I was less familiar with, hoverflies, which I find out are a fascinating bunch, super helpful, and which we can help in some slightly unusual ways. So I'm looking forward to sharing that with you. I'll be with you at the same time next week, but until then, thank you for listening.